praise be to Allah alone, we praise Him and we seek His help. Whomsoever Allah guides is a truly guided one, and whomsoever Allah leaves astray, no one can show him guidance. May the best peace and blessings be upon Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. Brothers and sisters, dear viewers everywhere, today inshallah we resume talking about what we started in the last two episodes, which is the most sacred word, the most holy phrase, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, and the meaning, the conditions, and the implications of this phrase, which indicates the unity of the Lord, that there is no God to be worshipped but Allah, and Muhammad, peace be upon him, is his last messenger. Who said it is not a mere word to be said by the tongue without absorbing, understanding its meaning, then obviously acting upon it. Rather, it's a very sacred statement that in order to be useful and beneficial, one must fulfill certain conditions. We counted them as seven, and we covered some of them in the last episode. Let me remind myself and you brothers and sisters quickly with some of those conditions and cover the remaining part. The first condition is knowledge, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, فَاعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. And in the seventh hadith, which is narrated by Uthman ibn Affan, may Allah be pleased with him, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَنْ مَاتَ وَهُوَ يَعْلَمُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ. One who dies in the condition of acknowledging the fact that there is no God to be worshipped but Allah shall enter paradise. So it is not just uttering the phrase, rather you have to be aware of its meaning. The second condition is certainty, or what we call it, yaqeen. Certainty, so that a person should not have the least doubt that there could be any other God besides him, or any other religion that may be valid other than what he chose for his believers. Allah the Almighty said in the Quran, إِنَّ الدِّينَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ الْإِسْلَامِ, the only considered religion before Allah, the one which he chose for his servants, is Islam, submission, to submit themselves totally to him. So one who say, you never know, maybe there is another religion which is true as well, in this condition, he did not fulfill one of the most important components of the Shahada, which is certainty. You have to be certain that there is only ultimate way, there is only one way to achieve success in this life and the hereafter, which is to believe in the oneness of Allah alone. Allah the Almighty said in verse number 15 of Surah Al-Hujurat, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَرْتَابُوا. The true believers are those who believed in Allah and in His Messenger, and they have no doubt. The third condition is al-qabul, or acceptance. We quoted a verse which we said this is a real test for those who claim to be believers. The verse of chapter An-Nisa, which says, فَلَا رَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُوكَ فِي مَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُ فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا مِّمَّا قَضَيْتَ وَيُسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. He acknowledged the fact that Allah is the only Lord who is worthy of worship, and Muhammad is His Messenger. Yes, then you must comply with His instructions, and you must accept His guidance. And that would lead to, whenever there is a ruling that's passed by Allah or His Messenger, you must accept it totally, with full submission. Submission is the following condition, which is al-inqiyad. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَنْ يُسْلِمْ وَجْهَهُ لِلَّهِ وَهُوَ مُحْسِنٌ فَقَدْ إِسْتَمْسَكَ بِالْعُرْوَةِ الْوُثْقَى لَمْ فِصَامَ لَهَا. So, Islam is to enter into the deen totally. اُدْخُلُوا فِي السِّنِّ كَافَّ. It is not select and it choose. I remember once while having a dialogue with, I sent an inquiry or a question to one of the priests, Christian priests in the States, concerning some of the phrases in the Bible, because they seem to be very aggressive and inviting into violence. So when I asked him, what do you think of that? What did he say? He said, well, we don't believe in this part anymore. So people who select and choose what to believe in and what to reject of their own faith are in doubt. Islam is unlike that. Islam is certainty and full submission. Once Allah the Almighty commands a command, then we must comply. Once Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said, this is bad, then we must abstain from it totally. The fifth condition, brothers and sisters, is truthfulness, as-sidq. Because We have, for example, during the Medina era, we have many people who claim to be Muslims, but in reality they were not, they were hypocrites. On top of them is Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul. For almost a whole decade, he was praying behind the Prophet, peace be upon him, in his masjid. Yet, he is in the lowest level of hell, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّ الْمُنَفِّقِينَ فِي الدَّرْكِ الْأَسْفَلِ مِنَ النَّارِ. The hypocrites will be in the lowest level of hellfire. May Allah protect all of us. And he stated in chapter Al-Baqarah or the Kaaba, that is the second chapter of the Qur'an, he said, عَزَّ وَجَلَّ وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَقُولُ آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ وَبِالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَمَا هُمْ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ. There are some people who may utter the phrase of belief, the most sacred word, and say, we believe in Allah and we believe in the last day, but guess what? Allah knows what's hidden and concealed in their hearts, and they, and He knows, as they know, that they are not believers. The sixth condition is sincerity. Sincerity does not just mean that I say, أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ, sincerely from the bottom of my heart. This is one of its components. But it also means that every act of worship, everything that I do in order to draw closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, must be done sincerely and totally for Him. Should not expect any reward nor wages from any other than Allah the Almighty. And that is the meaning of sincerity. And that's why Allah the Almighty said in Surah Al-Bayyinah, وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ. What we were commanded is only to worship Allah with sincere devotion. And He said, with regards to those who pray in order to show off, فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ. So woe to those who pray in order to show off. الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ يُرَاءُونَ وَيَمْنَعُونَ المعون. And in the sound hadith, our most beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أسعد الناس بشفاعتي من قال لا إله إلا الله خالصا من قلبه. May Allah make us amongst them. He said, the most delighted and the most lucky people on the day of judgment who will be eligible for my intercession are those who will say, لا إله إلا الله, there is no God worthy of worship but Allah, sincerely from their hearts. May Allah make us all amongst them. The seventh condition is a very interesting one, which is love. Love. And when we come to address the second part of the shahada, which is وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ, we will also be confronted with conditions that have to be fulfilled. Amongst them is love. So loving Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, peace be upon him, is a very important condition that verifies whether we are true believers or not. Allah the Almighty said that وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَتَّخِذُ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ أَنْدَادًا. There are some people who take false deities besides Allah. What do they do with them? يُحِبُّنَهُمْ كَحُبِّ اللَّهِ. They love them as much as they love Allah. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ. Yet the believers in their love to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are much stronger. So our love to Allah and to His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should surpass and precede and overcome any love to anything that exists. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, by Allah, one does not truly believe until he loves me, or until I am dearer to him than himself, his wealth, his family, his parents, and his children. They not leave anything. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ أَجْمَعِينَ. And from the entire mankind. That one should not give precedence to the love of anyone over the love of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Anas ibn Malik, may Allah be pleased with him, narrated that in a sound hadith, the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, there are three qualities. Whoever would possess them would find the sweetness, the flavor of iman or belief. And our program is all about belief, our belief. So in order to find the tangible taste of iman, you need to examine the three conditions and see whether you fulfill them or not. The first one, أن يكون الله ورسوله أحب إليه مما سواهما. To have Allah and His Messenger, peace be upon Him, dearer to your heart than anything else, including yourself, including your wife, and your children, and your business. And we'll see the implications of that. The second condition is وَأَن يُحِبَّ الْمَرْأَ لَا يُحِبُّهُ إِلَّا لِلَّهِ. And when you love somebody, when you befriend somebody, you only do that for the sake of Allah. So you carefully choose your intimate friends. Based on what? Based on their religious commitments. Such person is a devout worshipper or a righteous person. Then he's worthy of your friendship. You love them because of his traits, of his behavior, of his worship. So you only love them if taken as a partner or as an intimate friend or as a spouse, only for the sake of Allah. What about the third condition? أَن يَكْرَهَ أَن يَعُودَ فِي الْكُفْرِ كَمَا يَكْرَهُ أَن يُقْذَفَ فِي النَّارِ. The issue of changing my religion, abandoning my religion or my religious practice is never an option. It's not a choice. Even if I'm going to pay the price for that, my life. And we will study many examples after this break. So hang around and stay tuned. We'll be back inshallah very soon. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome back. In the next few minutes, let's examine together a few of the wonderful and unprecedented examples of the true love that the companions of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, paid to him and to Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. From the very beginning, once the believers recognize the truth, they are willing to give up on anything, including their lives, for the sake of Allah and His Messenger, peace be upon him. Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, may Allah be pleased with him, one of the great companions of Prophet Muhammad, and he was one of the ten heaven-bound companions. When he accepted Islam, his mother, and by the way, his mother was the Prophet's aunt, Safiya, she was so disturbed. She could not accept the fact that her son accepted Islam and abandoned the faith of his forefathers. So she threatened him that she made a vow that if you do not abandon Muhammad's religion, and if you do not leave Islam and come back to your senses, I'm not going to eat, I'm not going to drink, I'm not going to take a shower or comb my hair, so that I would die in a rotting condition where people later on will cast the blame on you and you say, and they will say that you killed your mother. A day, two, three, she was in this condition. So when he heard of that, he came and he visited her. And he was so powerful in his iman. And he gave precedence to the love of Allah over the love of anything, including his mother. What did he tell his mother? He said, my mother, eat or do not eat. Take a shower or do not drink or do not. It's up to you. But by Allah, I will never, ever abandon my religion after Allah have guided me to Islam, no matter what happens. Even if you have 100 souls, and I see your soul coming out of your body one after another, there is no way that I'm going to abandon my religion. When he said so, his mother recognized that he was so deep in faith, and she gave up on her vow. This is just one example. You may have heard of a person by the name Musaylim al-Kadhab, who initially came to give the Pledge of Allegiance to the Prophet, but he was persuaded and he claimed the prophethood. He said that, I'm a prophet. So when the Prophet, peace be upon him, delegated and envoyed one of his companions by the name Habib ibn Zayd in order to convey the message to him, he captured him. Then he asked him a question. He said, do you testify that Muhammad is a messenger of God? He said, yes, I do. He said, and you testify that, me too, I am the messenger of God. So Habib ibn Zayd, every time he would come to the statement of that Musaylima is a messenger too, he said, what? I cannot hear you. I'm deaf. I cannot hear. So he will change the question and say, do you hear this? Do you testify that Muhammad is a messenger of God? He will say, yes. So he will ask him the second question and say, I cannot hear you. So he started cutting his body parts and organs one after another. He began by chopping off his ear. Then he repeated the question, and he got the same answer. When it comes to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yes, I testify that he's a messenger of God. What about me? He said, he cannot hear. So he chopped off his nose, then his arms, then his legs, until he was martyred. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon him. And may Allah accept him amongst the martyrs. Ameen. This is just one example. After the Prophet's death, the companions' love to the Prophet ﷺ was never belittled nor decreased. Rather, it increased. Because they were attached to the Prophet because of the message, because of the guidance and the nur, the light that he brought to them. So it was not just temporarily and because of his life. And that's why when Abdullah ibn Hudhafa al-Sahmi, this is another great companion, was captured by the Romans in one of the battles as a prisoner of war. So they took him along with the prisoners of war, Muslims, to the Roman emperor. And guess what? He offered them a great offer. He said, if you abandon your religion and you become Christian, I will give you half of my kingdom. I will make you share with me this kingdom, the Roman Empire. He said, even if you give me your entire kingdom, even if you give me the entire world and what it contains, I will never give up on my deen. These are some lessons we learn from the true mahabbah and the ultimate love that the believers pay to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Did the Roman Emperor leave him and say, you're good, you can just go home? No. So he tried to scare him off and frighten him. And he ordered a huge boiling pot, but in it there was no water, rather boiling oil. And he started dumbing Muslims one after another in it. And you can imagine when a human being is thrown in boiling oil. A few minutes later, they would only pick up the bones. And all of that before the very eyes of Abdullah ibn Hudhafa al-Sahmi, the great companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was trying to scare him in order to give up on his faith and disbelief in Allah and become Christian. So, after the third person was thrown in this boiling pot, they noticed that Abdullah ibn Hudhafa al-Sahmi was weeping and crying. So they took the good news to the king, to the Roman emperor. He brought it near to him and said, huh, are you afraid now? He said, nay, by Allah I ain't afraid. Rather, I feel sorry that I only have one soul. And if you throw me in this pot, I would only die innocently. I wish that I had multiple souls. I would give them all for the sake of Allah, one after another. The Roman emperor was amazed, was shocked. What kind of people are you? What kind of faith are you following? That they're taking their lives, but they're willing to give much greater than their lives for the sake of Allah and the love of His Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Do you know why? Because they recognize the truth. They tasted the sweetness and the flavor of faith. So they're not willing to trade it for anything else. So the Roman emperor gave him another offer. He said, after he imprisoned him, starved him, for days, no water, no food. Then he ordered his soldiers to offer him pork and wine, because he knows that Muslims do not eat pork nor drink wine. So when they went to check on him, he was starving, but still did not taste the pig flesh, nor did he drink the wine. So he asked him, why didn't you eat? He said, because it is prohibited. He said, and I know that it is permissible for you at the time of need to eat and drink from whatever is prohibited. He says, yes, but I thought that would please your heart and I don't want to please you. So he was so upset and he said, well, I would set you free if you kiss my head. He said, I won't. He said, what about if I set free all the prisoners with you, Muslim prisoners of war? He said, only in this condition I will. So he drew near to him and he kissed his head. So he fulfilled his promise and he released Abdullah ibn Hudhafa al-Sahmi and all the Muslims along with him. When they arrived to Al-Madina, Umar ibn al-Khattab was the leader of the believers at this time. He heard of what happened. So he gathered the Muslim community in the masjid of the Prophet, peace be upon him. Then he drew near to Abdullah ibn Hudhafa al-Sahmi and he kissed his head and he thanked him for what he did. And he asked every member of the Muslim community to do likewise and kiss his head. Very intelligent, very smart, very steadfast when it comes to faith. Many, many examples, brothers and sisters. We can talk about that forever. But that's only in order to strengthen our iman and to keep us steadfast on the straight path. Many of us feel weak and feel lonely, and they tend to lose their identity. Why? In the midst of this darkness, in the midst of this tribulation and this fitna and trials, people really do not recognize the truth from falsehood. But the true believer is as firm as a mountain. Nothing would shake him. Because in his heart is the love of Allah and his messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I can definitely tell you and assure you that one would only stand up in prayer at night and would continuously read the Quran day and night simply because he loves Allah and his messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ibn al-Qayyim, may Allah have mercy on him, said love is a big word that has no boundaries, is a very broad definition. You cannot describe it because it does not have a certain measure. It does not have a weight. It does not have any dimensions, especially when it comes to the love of Allah and his messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Danish people, when they started drawing the cartoons slandering and ridiculing the Prophet of Islam sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the greatest man ever and the greatest creature ever, they did not recognize why Muslims reacted this way. And if you were to know that if it was up to Muslims, they would have reacted much greater than that. They would not let a person who tried to annoy or ridicule the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ever do that. Why? Because we love him. You know what it means that we love him? We love him more than our own selves. He brought us to guidance. He brought Islam to us. He's taken us out of darkness into light. He's shown us the path. Allah the Almighty said in the Quran, لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُّمْ حَرِيصٌ عَلَيْكُمْ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. And that means by the end of chapter At-Tawbah or repentance, verily has come to you a messenger from amongst yourselves. He is very anxious over you to be rightly guided. It grieves him that you should receive an injury or hurt feeling or be annoyed by enemy. For the believers, he is full of mercy and pity. This is Muhammad, peace be upon him. And that's why we love him so much. He's the most beloved to Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. We will definitely talk more and more about why do we love Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, more than our own selves, our parents, our family members, and everything that exists in this life. Let me give you another example. It is of two companions happened to have the same circumstances, Khubayb ibn Adi and Zayd ibn al-Dithanna. When they were captured and they were tried, Zayd ibn al-Dithanna, for instance, was captured in Mecca, and in order to execute him and crucify him, they've taken him out of the sanctuary of Mecca. And while they fastened and tied his hands and feet again as a cross, and they were ready to execute him, Abu Sufyan, who was not a Muslim yet, and he was the Meccan chief, he drew near to him and said, wouldn't you like Muhammad to be in your place, and we will set you free, you can go home safe and secure, have fun with your family and business and children? And listen to this shocking answer to the disbelievers. But to the believers, it is very, very expected. You know what did he say? He said, I would like to enjoy life and its joy and delight, go home, be safe and secure with my family members and children, and a thorn would penetrate the skin of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. My life is sacrificed for him. For anything that could hurt him, I would rather pay my life in order to protect him against. That was the love that the companions presented to Prophet Muhammad and obviously to Allah. And when we say the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, obviously we do not make any distinction. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, مَنْ يُطْعَ الرَّسُولَ فَقَدْ أَطَاعَ اللَّهِ. Whosoever obeys the messenger has indeed obeyed Allah. And he said in another verse, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبَكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. They are related. Say, if you truly love Allah, then follow me. And if you do, accordingly, Allah will love you and will forgive you your sins, because Allah is the all-forgiving, the most merciful. I don't know if you're familiar with an incident that's called the Treaty of Al-Hudaybiyah. After a series of battles, a Badr, Uhud, the trench, on the sixth year the Prophet, peace be upon him, had seen a night vision that he was performing Umrah. So he drove 1400 of his companions and they hid towards Mecca in order to perform Umrah. On the way, the Meccans stopped them. They were very close to Mecca and they started negotiating. So Quraysh deployed or delegated an envoy of many of them. This person, this particular person, his name was Urwa ibn Mas'ud al-Thaqafi. He came and he sat with the Prophet, peace be upon him, as the representative of the Meccan side, in order to negotiate the deal, as the Prophet to go home and not to perform Umrah peacefully or else. And he came to threaten the Prophet and his companions and he was warning him. But when he returned to the Meccans, he told them something very strange that they did not expect. Because they thought that he has only 1400 people, they can take them out and by that they will capture Prophet Muhammad or will kill him. He said, no way, I don't think this will ever happen. Why? He said, oh people, listen carefully. Urwa ibn Mas'ud al-Thaqafi was a very prestigious man. He traveled a lot. He's been to many kings, Kisra, wa Qaisar, wa Najashi. These are the names of the Persian emperor, the Roman emperor, Caesar, and the Abyssinian emperor, Nagash, or Nagas, and Najashi. So what did he say? He said, I have never seen anything who's more beloved and respected amongst a people more than Muhammad amongst his companions. Then he started describing what he had seen. He was watching closely. In the few minutes he was sitting with the Prophet, peace be upon him. He said, by Allah, if he spits, his mucus would not fall on the ground. They would compete to pick it up and wipe it over their faces and bodies. Somebody would say, gross. No. Not with Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. This is a different man. This is a man whom Allah loves the most. Furthermore, he said, whenever it comes to perform ablution, wudu, he said the water of ablution thereof would not fall on the ground. The companions would compete to pick it up, drink it, or wipe it over their bodies out of love. They take the left over, the water which was used by Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. And furthermore, he said, I do not see any of them looking to him in the eyes or in the face out of respect. And if he were to speak, everybody would be quiet. This is the adab and the etiquette of dealing with Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. One more thing before we leave, because it's time to offer Maghrib prayer. In a sound hadith, one of those who used to serve Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, by the name Thawban, may Allah be pleased with him. He used to love Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam a great deal. And one day he started losing weight and his face turned yellowish. So a Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam asked him, what is wrong with you? What is the matter with you? I see you losing weight and overwhelmed with worries. He said, what's wrong? He said, oh Messenger of Allah, I love you so much to the extent that I cannot stop thinking about you. I cannot stop thinking about you. And the fear that crosses my mind that whenever we die, that I would not get to see you as much. You will be in Al-Firdaws Al-A'la, in the highest of paradise, and I would not get to see you. I would not enjoy being with you as I do in this life. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not say a word, cannot give him promises. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comforted this companion and us and the believers throughout until the Day of Judgment with the beautiful verse that he revealed in the Quran. The verse says, وَمَنْ يُطَعِ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءِ وَالصَّالِحِينَ وَحَسُنَ أُولَٰئِكَ رَفِيقًا ذَلِكَ الْفَضْلُ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ عَلِيمًا. And that means, and whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah will gather him on the Day of Judgment in heaven with the prophets, with the truthful and the trustworthy, and with the martyrs and the righteous ones, with Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, in heaven. And that is excellent and the best gathering ever. So obviously, this is a glad tiding that we should enjoy and be optimistic and very hopeful and delighted that we will be eligible for the intercession of Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. I know that we spent several episodes speaking about the virtues and the greatness of this phrase, أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمد رسول الله. Perhaps somewhere, somebody who is sitting and watching us right now, other was born in Islam and does not really appreciate it and does not understand the value and the virtues of this beautiful deen, the ultimate truth and the meaning of this faith, so that will help him out to recover his faith and to become a true believer. Or somebody who is not a Muslim and is getting to learn about Islam for the first time, we invite them to say that blessed and sacred faith before it's too late. Because any person would die without believing in the oneness of Allah and the prophethood of Muhammad, peace be upon him, will not be eligible for Allah's mercy, will not enter heaven, because he does not believe in Allah. He is not monotheistic. Last but not the least, Anas ibn Malik, may Allah be pleased with him, narrated that once while the Prophet, peace be upon him, and myself were leaving the masjid, a Bedouin came and he asked the Prophet a question. He said, O Prophet of Allah, the question was very interesting. He said, when is the Day of Judgment? When will it take place? So the Prophet ﷺ answered this question with another question. He said, what have you prepared for it? You are asking about its time. Did you do much for it? He said, by Allah, I did not do much of prayers, fasting or charity, other than the fact that I love Allah and His Messenger, peace be upon him. The Prophet, peace be upon him, I could see him smiling and saying, أنت مع من أحببت. You will be in the company of those whom you love. You will be in the company of those whom you love. At that, Anas ibn Malik, may Allah be pleased with him, said, there was no better news after accepting Islam than this glad tiding, that it is true that we cannot compete with the companions in their good and righteous deeds, but we love the Prophet ﷺ. And we love to see him on the Day of Judgment. And hopefully we'll be eligible for this honor and we'll be resurrected with him simply because of our love. As the Prophet ﷺ has said to the Bedouin, أَنْتَ مَعْ مَنْ أَحْبَبْتَ. You will be with those whom you love. That invites us, brothers and sisters, to work hard, to obey Allah and His Messenger, and to abstain from anything that upsets Allah or His Messenger, peace be upon him. The Muslim poet phrased a beautiful poetry I would like to share with you and interpret its meaning in this regard. He said, تَعْصِ الْإِلَهَ وَتَزْعُمُ حُبَّهُ هَذَا لَعَمْرِي فِي الْقِيَاسِ شَنِيعُ إِنْ كَانَ حُبُّكَ صَادِقًا لَأَطَعْتَهُ إِنَّ الْمُحِبَّ لِمَنْ يُحِبُّ مُطِيعُ. And that means that you disobey Allah and you claim that you love Him, that doesn't make any sense. If you were true in your love to Allah and obviously to His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you would have obeyed Him, because إِنَّ الْمُحِبَّ لِمَنْ يُحِبُّ مُطِيعُ. The lover always obeys and tries to please his beloved one. May Allah the Almighty accept this humble effort from all of us. Until next episode, brothers and sisters, I leave you in the care of Allah. جزاكم الله خيرا. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله.
أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله.
وأشهد أن محمدا رسول الله.
وأشهد أن محمدا رسول الله.
Now I became sinless and free. The world around.